Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Honda Classic. Joining me to break it all down, Sia Najad is here. Sia, what up?
What is up? What an interesting day. There are some big names that have some big numbers, Rick.
Hudson Swafford, I was telling Jacob, was the guy who already ejected himself by the time I woke up this morning, which we know happens at like Florida courses with lots of water, but it's been basically a year since I've been slapped in the face like that. It was a great wake-up call.
Yeah, that's the worst. I remember, Rick, you had... on your other pod, you interviewed Scott, was it Scott Blumstein, right?
Correct.
WSOP yes. Main event winner. And yes. You know, the manner in which you described how he sweats PGA DFS.
When he was
describing that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's me. By the way, World Series of Poker, main event casher myself. But the same point thing. Is I sweat it the same exact way. And so when I wake up and I see a guy like that I'm invested in, that's already like +3 or +4, it legitimately ruins my entire day.
See, that shouldn't be happening. I swear, Scott has an unhealthy sweat. I hope, Sia, that you do not have. I don't want it ruining your day. Come on, man.
Honestly, it's an understatement. What I just said is an understatement, because it really affects like the next 4 days until pricing comes out on Monday. Yes.
Well, you'd be feeling pretty good if you had Kurt Kitayama in your lineup, because he shot an opening round 64. That's 6 under par. And just as everyone suspected he was going to do, Sia, because he had missed 5 consecutive cuts leading into this event, and goes out and pops and shoots a 64. And now he is our first round leader for the moment. I guess there's like maybe one guy who could catch him, but as of right now, Kurt is going to sleep on the 18-hole lead.
Yeah, and he's doing it the right way, because it's not like it's right. I mean, it's not like he gained it all putting or around the green. Like, the ball striking was immaculate. The putting was great, don't get me wrong, but even if he regresses in that department, the ball striking, you know, gained, let's see, I'm looking at rickrungood.com, 2.78 on approach, 1.57 off the tee. The ball striking was immaculate today.
Yeah, so not everyone's done, so these will fluctuate a little bit, but you're right. I see him as the number one ball striker in the field right now, which is not usually how you see first round leaders get it done. So yeah, that's a little bit of optimism that he might have a hair of sticking power for the rest of the way. But I mean, most people, you know, probably don't realize, or maybe they do realize, Kurt Kitayama is the 289th ranked golfer in the world. He has 3 career OWGR victories. His most recent was the Oman Open. That was in 2019 on the DP World Tour. But Sia, I think we see this a lot, right? We see somebody jump out to an early lead. The depth of the PGA Tour is absolutely insane. Because of the way his metrics are shaping up, do we think he can hang more than most kind of random first round leaders?
Actually, no. I don't think this is a Cameron Young situation where he's going to stick around. I mean, I think if he plays, you know, average among the field tomorrow, I think that won't be a surprise, but he'll still fall. I think, honestly, by Sunday morning or by Saturday early evening, I don't think Kurt Kitayama is going to be anywhere near the top 10.
Well, our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook probably agree with you. They are listing Kurt Kitayama at 25-1 to win the Honda Classic, despite being out front at the moment. The favorite at 3.5-1. Daniel Berger, thanks to an opening round 65, and he looked very much like the Daniel Berger that we have seen for the majority of the last year. It was bogey-free around PGA National, and Sia, he very quickly quieted those concerns about any potential injury.
Yeah, and I realize this is not a DFS show like we do on Monday, but you know, one of the reservations one may have had in putting him into your lineup or betting him, you know, outright or top 20 was that back injury, and he clearly has put that to bed. I don't really think there's any worry at this point that all of a sudden it's going to flare up. You know, would I be betting, in spite of that, would I be betting him at plus 350? The answer to that is no. I think there's some odds down the board that I'm sure we'll talk about. But yeah, Berger seems back, and this is his kind of like a home game for him. And he's showing off all of the skills that we knew he had. He just hadn't put in play yet because he had been injured.
Of course, PGA National played about 1.3 strokes over par on Thursday. The infamous bear trap, 15, 16, and 17, Sia, not even the hardest three-hole stretch on the golf course. Those three holes played about, let me do some quick math here, 0.45 strokes over par, while holes 5, 6, and 7 played, oh boy, 0.58, about three quarters of a stroke over par. So when you have a three-hole stretch that is named for how difficult it is, and that's not even the hardest three-hole stretch, oh boy, are you in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk to Keith Mitchell real quick. If we could just grab him for a quick interview on how he feels about the bear trap. But with that said, you're right. I think everybody kind of knew going into this tournament that the bear trap was going to be really problematic. But really, 5, 6, and 7 were going to either be more problematic or at least equally as problematic. So on the front nine and the back nine, you know, trouble lurks everywhere. And it's just about being able to maybe, you know, go even par during that stretch if you can, getting your birdies elsewhere. And then you are going to be in position like Kurt Kitayama is, for example, and some of these other lesser names. I mean, Rick, by the way, I mean, if we're looking at ball striking, and I realize this is going to change because not everybody's finished, but guys like Lucas Glover, Wesley Bryan, your guy, Rick, Paul Barjon, the ball, Jim Herman, my guy, the Twitter phenom, Jim Herman. Like, these guys are absolutely, the ball strike, they're cruising through these tough stretches with great ball striking, and they're picking up some birdies here and there and pars here and there. And, you know, here we are. Is it going to last? No, probably not, but it's very compelling. You just have to get through those tough stretches.
There are some guys with some popping ability over the next day or two based on the metrics. You mentioned Keith Mitchell. He stepped on the tee of 15, the first hole of the bear trap, at 2 under par. Lots of people very excited about a past champion around PGA National this time around. And he played them, oh boy, 4 over. Double bogey on 15, bogey on 16, bogey on 17. At least he made a birdie on 18. Sia salvaged the round a little bit, 1 over par for Keith Mitchell. So the way this is shaping up, and we'll get to the odds and all that stuff on the other side, the way this is shaping up is a kind that's probably going to be, they generally say double it, but when it's over par, maybe 1 over, maybe somewhere between even par and 2 over, probably the likely scenarios for Friday. It's going to be another tough battle when these guys tee it up tomorrow.
Yeah, and there are some big time names that are in real big trouble. I'll tell you, you know, everybody knows I'm not exactly the king of one and done with the first cut. I've got Louis Oosthuizen in at +5. I've, you know, in a lot of, you know, one and duns or, you know, outright bets or top 20s or in DFS, Sung J.M., who was +4. Like, these guys are, those were the two, you know, top guys in this tournament, mostly because, you know, Berger had the potential injury issue, and they're very much on the outside looking in. I would predict that one of those two makes the cut, but I'm not super confident about that statement.
Matthew Wolf shot an 81 on Thursday. That's 11 over. He is in dead last by 3 shots. Obviously, you never like to see an implosion like this, but it's not unheard of, right? Matthew Wolf, one of the most volatile golfers, in a good way, I will mention, when you start putting danger everywhere, it's either him going out and winning the golf tournament because everything goes his way and he's able to pull off all the shots, or it's this, it's an 81. Those are like the largest, Matthew Wolf is probably the largest range of outcomes on a given day or a given week when you're in these conditions.
And we talked about that on the Monday DFS show, because you asked the question, is Matthew Wolf worth a shot given that volatility, which can go both ways? And my answer to that was, well, not really, because I'd rather just pay up for another volatile guy that can take down this tournament, and that's Brooks Koepka. Now, did I like either of them a lot? No, not really. But if I'm going to take a chance on extreme volatility, give me Brooks Koepka over Matthew Wolf, because honestly, more often than not, it goes downhill for Matthew Wolf, at least at this time, at this juncture of his career.
Let us take a minute to go through kind of the risers, potential fallers, look at the odds board. We're going to do all that, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Daniel Berger, as mentioned, the favorite to win, according to our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook, 3.5-1 at this exact moment, with Brooks Koepka, who shot a 2-under-68 on Thursday, sitting there at 12-1. Billy Horschel at 14, Chris Kirk at 16. And those are the only four golfers who are shorter than 20-1, Sia. Is there a bet to be made in the moment in terms of outright situations?
You know, typically this early in the tournament, I think I like to look even further down the board. But I'll tell you, at what we see right now, I think from a value standpoint, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Cameron Young really impressed me today because he really faltered early and then just kind of and you would think, okay, it's really going to unravel. This is a young kid. He sort of had his moment last week. And now either there's going to be a tournament or two where you're just going to see maybe bad Cameron Young. And nope. He completely rebounded and really, really showed that maybe he's kind of here to stay. And at 28-1, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought the same exact thing. You know, when I saw him, he was 2 over. He made bogey on 15. He started on the back, double on 16. He's 2 over, you know, 6 or 7 holes into this. I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be a quick week. And then he makes eagle on 18, makes 3 more birdies on his second 9. I was flashing back to Sahith a couple of weeks ago when there was a moment when that tournament could have gotten away from him and he didn't let it happen. And this was a moment that the tournament could have gotten away from Cam Young and he didn't let it happen. I thought it was very mature and I thought it was a really important turning point in his round.
Yeah, and I think that tells us something about this tournament, but I think it tells us something about Cameron Young the rest of the season. Now, granted, it's a smaller sample size. I'm really going off of, you know, a very, not just last week, but, you know, the few weeks before where he was, you know, pretty impressive given his age on the tour. But I think this says a lot about Cameron Young. At a difficult course like this, it says a lot about him.
Yeah, currently 28-1. If you're looking for some of those guys that we mentioned who are really good ball strikers who kind of lost strokes with the putter, you mentioned Jim Herman. Gained at least about 3 strokes in the ball striking categories, lost 2 on the putting surfaces, Sia. He's even par. So, you know, if he can even just lose a half a stroke putting on Friday and continue to hit the ball the same way, you'd think that he'd be making up ground on the field. Anyone else that kind of looks like an interesting, whether it's a showdown play or someone that you think is going to be making moves as we head into holes 19 through 36?
Yeah, a few. I mean, Lucas Glover is one of them. The ball striking was immaculate with him as well. Let's see. It looks like he almost, you know, again, this might fluctuate a little bit, but gained 3 strokes ball striking. And in going into this tournament, this is a guy that we knew could get hot at this test here. I mentioned Paul Barjon. I mean, in terms of like a low end showdown play, striking the ball well. Wesley Bryan, we know, is it. Classically was a good ball striker. Is Wesley Bryan back? I have no idea, but he certainly flashed that sort of I'm back potential today. So those are maybe some of the lesser names. I thought Billy Horschel could have really taken advantage of a little bit more today, and he didn't, but that doesn't mean he can't tomorrow. I think he's an interesting play. I think Gary Woodland, you know, I have like 2 or 3 outrights, and Gary Woodland is one of them. And I really, and we talked about him on the Monday DFS show as well. I think there's some potential there at -1 for him to kind of ascend in this field full of guys that just frankly aren't very good, knowing that guys like Sung Jae-im and Louis are really in the chase pack or well behind the chase pack.
Yeah. The other one that I thought was interesting was Billy Horschel, because he lost strokes with the putter on Thursday. He was great in the ball striking categories. And even if you watched him, the putts that he missed, they burned the edges. He hit a lot of pretty good putts. I was actually expecting to see him lose more than just a third of a stroke with that flat stick. So he's someone that now engaged through the first, the first 18 holes. He's going to have to go out and probably play the harder side of it in the afternoon on Friday. I'd be keeping a close eye on him. I like what we've seen from Billy as of late.
Yeah, I totally agree on Billy. I think another guy that's interesting is Mito Pereira. He'll probably be really popular when it comes to, you know, showdown plays and things of that nature. And you're right to bring up the morning and the afternoon because, and I don't have a full weather report for tomorrow, at least not as of right now. But I mean, I think that certainly could matter. It's something we're going to need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the afternoon did play about a half a stroke more difficult on Thursday, which is, you know, the norm generally in PGA Tour events. It gets harder as the day goes on, especially when you're talking about places that are more susceptible to wind and drying out and stuff like that, like we saw at PGA National. Okay, Cena John, any final thoughts before we put a pin in this one and come back again after round two?
You know, we were so close to having a wire-to-wire-to-wire situation, the way Joaquin Niemann led this tournament, and literally led this tournament, but led off this first round, because it was really tracking like he was going to finish at like minus, you know, 6-under, 7-under. I mean, he was really dominating. And then he just, I guess he had that double bogey and things started to fall apart. But that would, I don't know how many times, Rick, you probably know the answer. Well, I'm sure you could find it pretty quick, but to go wire to wire in one tournament and then be the first round leader in the next tournament is just absurd.
To go wire to wire to wire to wire back. Yeah. Back to back weeks. I wonder if it's ever, I'm sure Tiger's done it, but maybe he's the only guy who's ever done it. He was 4-under and then he made that double, but you're right. That would have been very interesting. Oh my goodness. If we were sitting here talking about Joaquin being the first round leader instead of a tie for 45th. Yeah. That would have been special. I'll have to go look that up. Now my brain's thinking.
What's funny is how cavalierly we suggest that Tiger accomplished something that is absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that you're probably right about it.
Every stat is, this has never been done before, asterisk, except Tiger Woods. Like, that's every stat. It's outrageous. So I cover my bases at this point by assuming Tiger's done it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair.
Smart.
It's worked out before. Sia Najad, available on Twitter at Sia Najad. Producer Jacob does all the hard work behind the scenes, and we'll be back after each and every round this week for the rest of the Honda Classic. You can follow me at Rick Run Good, but this has been the First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
A very bright shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.